funny things we Christians say. Hallelujah. And I just have to say that God's word avails us the opportunity to grow in knowledge. To grow in knowledge. If there's a clear will of God, it is that you should be growing in knowledge. So what does God want me to do this year? He wants you to know more. That's 2 Peter 3:18. I'll just open that. 2 Peter. There was a year I was using 2 Peter to start all my sermons. I think for like 2 years, yeah. Now it's Matthew 1 or Matthew 28. One day we'll do Genesis 1:1. Yeah, that means every teaching is under the prophet because... Alright. 2 Peter 3:18. Are you there now? Can we read together, everybody? Who wants to go? But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Alright, look at that. Peter, arguably in his last writing ever to the church, he says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. Whatever does not grow is dying. If it's not growing, then it's dying. Peter says, grow in grace. How am I going to know you're growing in grace? You are going to grow in the knowledge of God, of the Lord and our Savior Jesus. So if I want to grow in grace or in Christ, I'll be growing in knowledge. In knowledge. That means I'll know things better than I did yesterday. I'll be able to say things in a better way than I did last year. And that shows my spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not that you now have more money. No, it's that you have more influence by the word. So we said, if there's a will of God for your life, it is that you are growing in knowledge. Look at 1 Timothy 2. It says, first of all, let prayers and supplications. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I'm there, are you? 1 Timothy 2. Okay, verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, prayers, supplication, intercessions, and the giving of thanks, let it be made for all men. Then it says, for kings, for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Can we read verse 3 and 4 together? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who we have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Say, God will have all men. Say, all men. So even the ones you don't like, even the ones you say, this one is going to hell. It's not like that. You've got no right to judge anyone. Say, God wants all men saved. And that's all? No. Say, when they are saved, he wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. So salvation, now I have accepted the life of Jesus. Now I am a Christian, I'm a believer. That's not the end. It is now the beginning of a journey to start knowing. I have a lot of Christians who don't know. What is the... Okay, so... You know? What tongues, for example, now, tongues. You say it's not human language. So what is it? You know, when I first started speaking in tongues, someone told me that I was speaking Mexican. And I believed. Nonsense. He said, that is a new tongue that he just got now. It's Portuguese. You know, because you grew up in Ibadan, but Portuguese really. If a real person, someone that speaks real Portuguese comes in, you know, he will just say, what are you saying? You are not saying Portuguese. So he said I was speaking Mexican. How can that be Mexican? And then he asked the Christians to explain. So, what is tongues? He said, let me call pastor. No, you should not be calling pastor for that. Is that clear? So, what is God's desire for you? Number one, to be saved for every man. Then, followed after that, you have to grow in knowledge. Start knowing things. If there's any new year resolution, or whatever resolution you want to call it, it is to know more. To know more. So, we already have established that. So, anyone who underplays knowledge in our faith is underplaying our growth and what we can do for the Lord. So, information is too vital. Amen. Amen. Information is too vital. It's by information that you got saved. Someone told you something. Oh, Jesus died for your sin. He was raised from the dead. If you believe, your sins are forgiven. If you believe, you receive His Spirit. Information got you saved. So, how vital can words be? Too vital. Information. The disciples of Jesus, teach us to pray. Meaning we don't know how to pray. We've been following you. We see you pray, but you have to teach us to pray. So there's something as such as teaching, where knowledge is passed in all spheres of life, not even in just church. If you set out to do a business and you are not informed, let me do small. If you are not informed, you'll be deformed. Let me do small motivation. If you are not informed, you'll be deformed to be. You cannot be transformed. You just conform to a reform. Then you become chloroform. Nonsense. But information is too vital. Too important. I remember the first time I was traveling. You know, if you remember, if you have traveled before, your first time is always very easy. So what would they ask? What would they check? Send me back to make load. You might say, not send me back. They don't send you back. They can't send you back. Just pay for extra. Yeah. I was just, everything was just. Because you want information. What should I do? Your first time in university. Year one. Remember, your first class. Everybody is serious. I don't know what the lecturer can do. But we did. But when you get to 400 level, the same people, the same set. Lecturer said, get out of the class. Before, you would have gone to kneel down. Sir, please, sir. I don't want to get out of the class. I want to get out of the class. Send me out of the class. You know? What has happened? Information. Who was that? I was telling one of those in Unilag. Is he fair? Where's he fair? So, when she first entered, when the exam is coming, you will see it on her face, jacking around. You know when you say Jackie Chan? Then prophet said, prophet said, Judas, you can read. By God's grace, I read the Bible. Amen. You know, they will read and read and read and read and read. When I was in school, I used to wonder what are they reading? What I actually forced myself. Because the materials, now, I don't think everybody's reading everything. But I don't know how you will read it. But I think some of them do. And I see the way they circle everything. I say, you read every page. Oh, one of my friends came back to the room. I was seeing his materials. You read every page of this thing. I say, yes, now that I'm still going through it again. Ha, you have to get 100. And I pick the material like this. By the grace of the Lord, Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Page 1, page 5, page 7. I mean, my words will over that. Page 13, 17, 20, 21, 22, 23. I'm telling you to come out. Don't go and try it, though. 23. So, year 3, year 4. One of my friends, roommates, Franklin, was not my roommate again. He now discovered that it's as though I know where the questions will come out from. So, when he's done reading, he will now come to my room. Pastor, where did you read? So we announce about this business now. Amen. Yeah, bring something. Page 2. The day did not come out. But you know, so she used to go and read. Then I asked her recently that, when is your exam? So I said, why is it not showing on your face again? What has happened? Now you know how they mark. Amen. So knowledge transforms anyone. It's not just in your faith, but of course that's what we're talking about. When you know things, you have to know. You have to know. Why do we pray? How do we pray? What is the church of God? Why do we preach the gospel? So information is too vital to the Christian faith. Sometimes information is how a man is healed. It's how a man is healed. Do this. For example, for Naaman and Elisha, Elisha said, go and have your bath in Jordan 7 times. Information. Hallelujah. The lack of it can be very harmful. And something that is also worse than ignorance is when a man is also unwilling to now know. You know, there are people that don't know. And they don't know that they don't know. Break it down. There are people that don't know. And they don't know that they don't know. Have you ever argued with someone who is arguing facts? No, he's arguing so voraciously and he's saying the wrong thing. Have you met Chelsea fans before? Have you met a Chelsea fan before? Somehow. You have entered bus before. You've seen the conductor before. You have seen a Chelsea fan. But anyways, thank you Chelsea for yesterday. I'm grateful. Hallelujah. I thought to say it. Even though at the end you messed it up. You know, for the first time, you almost... One of the few times in my life where Chelsea was going, I would say, thank you, Jesus. I was thinking to myself, These are odds. Amen. Thank you, Chelsea. God bless you, people. May you not rot. You are number what now? 11. Forget Chelsea, please. Don't worry. What was I saying before Chelsea stepped in? Yeah, so if you've met Chelsea fans before, you see the way they argue. You wonder, what are you saying? All of them. All of them. What are you saying? What? We might be 11, but we are still bigger than you. How are you bigger from 11? You can't be 11. And someone is in second. Amen. To the glory of God. Amen. And he said, you are bigger. London is blue. Look. So when, how irritating can it be when you're arguing with someone who does not know? Now, the issue is that they don't know that they don't know. And that's the same way God feels. He wants you to know. He wants you to grow. Tell someone beside you. He wants you to know. Say, God wants you to know more. So information is vital. There was a time in Nigeria where they were killing twins. Twin children. Who stopped the killing of twins? You don't know that one by now. I don't know how many exams you have passed though. So there was a time they were killing twins. Now everybody's like, you ask people now, what do you want? I want twins. What do you want? I want twins. Don't even say I want triplets. I want quadruplets. Give birth to an entire football team. Anyhow you want. But there was a time when twins are born, they kill one. The other one that is not killed will be treated somehow. Abami. Somehow. But it's witches. I'm wondering. Twins. So imagine you go from, you time travel. No, there's nothing like that, sir. But imagine you time travel back, how many years now? Let's say 700 years or 200 years. And you are where twins are born. And you are saying, oh, you gave me the twins. And everybody's crying. And you are, oh, what's going on? It's twins. Ejire, endurance and long suffering. Fruit of the spirit, gift of the spirit. And everybody's crying and they're saying, we have to kill. Say, kill, why do you have to kill? But knowledge changes everything. Knowledge changes everything. Amen. Amen. So in the Christian faith, there are things that we really need to correct. And part of our growth will be to learn, to unlearn, and to relearn. Let me say it again. Unlearning is part of Christian faith. Unlearning. There are things to unlearn. Oh, pastor, this is what I've always known. This is where I've always known it. Sometimes you got to unlearn it. Sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I'm sad. When you hear some things we Christians say. Let's just say we. We know it's not us. Amen. But let's just say we Christians say. Sad. And the responsibility lies with the pastors and those who minister to God's people to ensure that ignorance is shown the way out. So there are funny things Christians say. Actually, stupid things, but let's call it funny things. Amen. Amen. And it's not just in this generation. We see it in the scriptures too. For example, look at Matthew 26. We learn something? So it's not what just started now. We'll look at quite a number of things. Matthew 26. Funny things we Christians say. Now sometimes when they say it does not appear like the person is a Christian. You wonder, are you a Christian at all? I remember that one day I was browsing through Instagram and I saw a news and all of that. And normally what I do, like, I just go to the comments, so that we can appreciate why God gave you a brain. Amen. When you go to the comments, you say, God, thank you that I don't think like this. You appreciate that God gave you a brain. Alright, so. And so, I'm a Christian, but I agree. Maybe you should qualify the now. I'm a stupid Christian, but I agree. Something like that. And I'm going to tell you what the person said. But let's go to Matthew 26. Say, give us gist. Spill the tea. Matthew 26, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus subtly and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day. There will be an uproar. He will be among people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, therefore there came unto him a woman with an alabaster box of precious ointment.
and poured it on his head. And he sat at meat. That is, he sat to eat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, what purpose is this waste? For this ointment ought to have been sold and given to the poor.
Does that sound like something you see here today? Huh? Funny things.
Why will a pastor be riding private jets? Do you know how many poor people we have in Nigeria?
How many have you fed?
That's not the issue. I'm not saying you should give me anything. I don't want anything from you. But why would you say, why will?
The same thing here.
Say, what is the purpose of this waste? It could have been sold and given to the poor. Funny things.
Actually stupid. Because Jesus now said, are you thinking about what you said? He said, the poor will always be among you. Well, have there been any time that anybody cured poverty? Answer the question. Okay, there will be a year that there will be no more poor people in the world. Eh? You know, there should be people who are the ones printing money. If we are the ones printing our money in Nigeria, we have printing machine. Then it's just printing money now. Printing money, give everybody. Let's be buying food. This one is funny things Nigerians say. Hallelujah. Print money, give everybody. Nobody will be poor again. So who will drive you to work? I'm asking. Huh? So who will not be receptionist? Because me and you, we have money now. I tell people, I was telling my receptionist at work. You want to collect my bag? I said, don't bother collecting my bag. We both know that if I was not paying your salary, you will see me outside and you walk past. You can even step on me at the bus stop. So all these ones that you are doing is because there's a transaction going on. Amen. Now, everybody has money. I don't have to pay you. He does not have to pay me. How will the country run now? That's the problem. All of us are already presidents. Even the president has no money to invest. Everybody has money. You see that there will be issue? There's no country that runs like that. So before you open your mouth, first go and wash it. Use water. Do your and spit out. And then hear yourself. Says, why this waste? And you see here the same thing. The same thing. So someone said, all these pastors, they just want to be rich. Do you want to be poor? If you want to be poor, you want to be poor for the rest of your life. You don't want to have money to buy food. You don't want to have money to do anything, to buy clothes. When you need money for pampers, you will not see. Raise your hand. Somebody will need an idea. In case it's the most raised hand. Everybody wants money. So, why you not using the pastor that also is looking for money? Now, we are going to strike serious balances out. And that's why this kind of teaching, sometimes I try to avoid it because I'll say some things. So, suddenly, a pastor bought jet. Not me, I don't have the money yet. So a pastor bought jet. Everybody starts, So when that happened, that was 2016-17, I now went to look for pictures of when the ministry started. And I found one or two videos of when that church started. And that same pastor was piss poor. I mean, he didn't have anything. There was a time the wife was sick. They didn't have money to go to the hospital. In fact, when he got married, he rented suits. You know, say he rents own rent suit. It's not luxury. It's not because he's a designer. He does not have anything. So he even rented another poor man's suit. Nobody came to social media. Nobody said, why is the pastor borrowing his suit? Why can't he just go naked to the wedding? Why is he so poor? And suddenly, somehow, he found those who honor him to take care of him. And then you are shouting, why is he riding a jet? Should he ride Okada to Canada? Amen. So they told you, they said, why this way? They said, we're full of indignation. Always remember that those who do that, they have a mentor. His name is Judas. And there's a place he ended. You will not end there in Jesus' name. And so there are Christians who still talk like this. If anyone finds it easy to oppose the church of God, he should ask himself, is this by the Spirit of God? Why does the pastor have this kind of car? Why will you do something like this for a human like you, human being like you? I can't literally buy a car for an animal, can I? Why are you greeting pastor? Why are you greeting your pastor like this? Every time you just greet your pastor like this. Is he not just a man like you? But when you see your boss, when some people greet their boss, they can't even look eye to eye. But in church, you say, let us be free to speak our mind. This is your mind. This is your mind that we are praying for. Have you taken a look at your mind recently? This is your mind that we are trying to renew. That even the Bible says, ever are renewed by the word. That the title says, by the washing of water, by the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. This is your mind. We should allow you to say it. You can't say your mind here. You will renew it. You get to work. Every instruction they give. Say, yes sir, yes sir. Yes, I'm on it, sir. Actually, in fact, before you said it, I was already thinking this last year that we are going to do it. So what you're going to do is that today I just need you to stay back at work. There's some files we need to hand. Say, yes, sir. I was even thinking of, can I sleep over? I will stay back. You do everything. Then church comes. So everybody, we are going to stay back for 30 minutes after service just to pray. So what's this now? Prayer that pray like when you're going. Your issue. Actually, I don't know. Even the devil say, guy, calm down. My walking in you has not reached that stage. So your issue is not honor. Your issue is just who you honor. Why this waste? Why are we honoring him this much? Amen. Well, we'll see what the Bible says about it. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you see those who mock pastors, personally, even though you know there are some bad eggs, or bad oranges, I doubt they call it. That's not my business to discern. So, it's a funny thing to say. So when you say a pastor, he has too much money. There are too many poor people in his congregation. Too many poor people. And yet he has money and all of that. Okay, because they are poor people, you should say you will not have money to have. It's the same you that will come back and say, if God is truly answering his prayers, why does he not have money? Meanwhile, that's a stupid thing to say too. Because money is not a product of answered prayers. Let me say that one very well. Money is not a product of answered prayers. Okay, let me put it properly. Wealth is not a product of answered prayers. There are too many people that are wealthy in the world that never pray to God at all. You say, maybe they pray to the devil. They don't even pray to the devil too. Money comes from different places. The economy of your nation plays a role whether you be wealthy or not. Amen. The kind of work you do. Family. Bro, if you were born into Bill Gates' family, you know you not pray for money. Maybe for other things. But money, yeah. People are praying for money. You know that there's a joke like that. A rich man went to pray. So someone came to pray to you in church. God, God, I just need 50K. 50K. Oh, yeah. 50 bay. And you're on right ball. So the rich man said, he's like, you know, I like God to hear my own. Your voice is too loud. Let me answer your own prayer. So you wait. You gave him the 50,000. Gave him extra. He said, okay. That was how God wants to go to pray. Said, don't worry. I'll thank God. You just go. So that God can hear my own. You know? It shows you that money is not the product of prayer. It's not the product of faith. I've said it before. I'm going to keep saying it. There are plenty of reasons why people have money or not. Opportunities, lack of opportunities, chances, luck. But you are lucky in Jesus' name. Luck. Everyone is just lucky. They just found themselves in the right place at the right time, the right circumstances, where their skill is needed. Not that you don't have any skill, you don't have anything. Someone earlier in the week, a very old friend, he was asking me for work. Okay, the issue is not work. Okay, you want a work. Okay. What can you do? It depends on what you can get me. What can you do? I'm willing to get... I don't understand that kind of... What can you do? Okay, I can do electrician. Okay, I can do carpentry. Okay, I can paint. Okay, I can draw. Okay, I can sweep. I can swim. If you can do... can do for work for you. No. What can you do? You cannot just say... Depends on what you want to get me. What do I know that will get you? Oh yeah, the CBN governor post is available. Go and do it. So, wealth is a product of different factors. So, why is the pastor like that? Why are pastors always having money? And there are poor people in this nation. You know, there's something called politician. There's something called governor, local government chairman. There's something called the president. There's something called the House of Rep. There's something called the Senate. Those are the people you should go and meet for money. and why the economy is bad and why there are a lot of poor people, not the pastor.
Hallelujah.
If only they're all those shouting on social media. No! We will not agree. This presidency is fraud. If they take them to the rock now, to the villa, and say, we want to give you a position. Nobody is that patriotic. I will not see him over and over again. I will not mention him. There was one person that Obama wanted to vote for one year like that. You remember that year? They gave the man a role. He was in presidency. No, no. We will speak up. We are the youth. They gave youth one role. Please forget Nigeria. stop that. Those are the people you talk to. That's who you chat to. So what does the Bible say really? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you learning something? I can't feel some people like saying, hey, last week was just war, prayer. This is the content I signed up for. 1 Thessalonians 5. Everything this is content. Nonsense. I say, I want to interview you. I'm serious. Why don't you interview me? I said, for what? Exactly. So just to know ministry and then, okay. So where will it be put? Says for my content. That's why I'll get back to you. I'll be at your content. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you there? Alright. Verse 11. Therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So, the first thing Paul tells the church in Thessalonica says, know those who labor among you. Those will be your teachers, your pastors. He says, those who are over you in the Lord, those who admonish you. The word admonish there, I think I taught it recently, is what caution. Those who warn you. So, some of the elements you find in the local church is warning. There must be someone who is warning you. Whatever does not have head is a monster. Whatever does not have control is spoiled. So get destroyed. There must be a level of caution to your life. Then know those who are over you in the Lord. Those who admonish you. Who are there to caution you. If there's nobody to caution you. Look up. If you're a lady, don't get married to any man who doesn't have anybody to caution him. It might be pastor, it might be parent. There are people who don't even listen to their parents. You see someone, when you went to their house, the way he was talking to the mother. You know, there's God fearing man, there's man fearing God. The mother fears him. The father was a bit, you know, like his disciple. And you said, we'll go on. Why? Because you don't want to break up. You're not gonna break up. Break up with boldness. And let it not affect you. Amen. That's why you must know what it is. Because he's saying, oh yeah. Now the time just passed now. But he's saying, oh, I agree. You just want to agree. You agree to everything. It's not terms and condition. Pastor, I've seen what I like. It's spec. It ticks all the boxes. What did you write in the box? That's the question. What nonsense did you write in those boxes? Tick everything. So I was just thinking, they in that tick box. Oh, for a little man, well, you style. Is that part of the boxes? It says love. Love slaps all things. Love believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love slaps all things. No. Can't break. So, whatever does not have anyone to caution. Bible teaches caution. It says, know those who caution you, those who admonish you. That's the work of a pastor. So the pastor must be over you in the Lord to caution you. That's not what we are going to. Can we read verse 13 together? No, I'll wait for everybody. Want to go? And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Look at that. To esteem them very highly. Now, true words, almost like a tautology. Highly is already high. And that says, esteem is already to take something and lift it up, right? Say, I esteem you. I esteem you means I regard you. I see you as up. I see you there. It says, esteem very highly. That's the way the Bible teaches us to address those who pastor. When I was younger, that's because I'm still very young,
About 16, I'm going to 17. But when I was younger, when I was about 12, there was this pastor, I think I've shared the story before, there was this pastor around who used to pray. I see him pray. I go there to his church to pray. It was in our area. I used to go and pray there. None of that. Very consecrated man. Every time I'm praying, I'm hearing him praying for members, mentioning names. You know, and I'm wondering. And this man, his congregation, they were well to do. Like, might not be the Dangotes of this world, but they could take care of him. But they were not. They were not. And I look at this man. Why is he like this? Now, if I had something to give, I would have probably given him them, but I wasn't working, I wasn't doing anything, I was too young. But even with my teenager mind, I knew something was wrong. How can a man dedicate so much of his life to you, and there is nothing you're doing about it? The man eventually died of sickness. Nobody to pay hospital bill, nothing. And you call him your pastor. I remember I went to teach somewhere, some TA, very recently, not too long ago. And the way they were treating me and everything was so nice. Am I in heaven? All that guy in my bag. I said, that was not possible. It's my bag. It's called my bag. Personal belongings. Amen. And by God's grace, the glory of God, I have aunt. I can carry my bag. I'm too young for you to be carrying my Bible for me. So I said, I'm going to carry my Bible. And I said, what? With everything. Protocol. I said, ah, hey, Buhari. Oh, but. Yeah, I'm not bad. So why everybody go? But one of the things the Holy Ghost pointed my attention was the way they were treating their pastor. I was looking at it. I was observing it. It was too bad. Not outrightly dismissal, but I saw water, juice, everything in my own sight. Empty. All the protocol. Now me they won't follow. I don't know you people from anywhere. Is this your pastor following? I didn't say that. So I told the pastor, I said, I'm led to share something on this, just to correct that. Because when I go to teach, I don't correct anybody's congregation. You give me a topic, I preach on the topic, I go home. You don't correct people's congregation. So I said, but can I do this? He said, I should go on. When I was done, if I come upon you, so when I was done, he said, I don't need everything you are giving me. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not your pastor. This is the person that prays for you every week. This is the person that teaches you every week. I'm here and I'll go back. Very likely, if you invite me next time, I will not even come. I don't see my attitude. I don't even like going anywhere. Amen. I don't like going anywhere. But you must not treat your pastor like that. They say familiarity brings contempt. It ought not to be so. They say a prophet is without honor, only in his own place. That should not be the case. That is the case of a city in unbelief. Don't forget. That was Jesus' hometown. Who could not receive healing because they were in unbelief? Said a prophet is without honor there. That should not be the case in the church of God. It says those who labor among you, you must treat them very highly. So don't join the social media bandwagon. Say, that's a pastor. See how he's. Shut up. If it does not concern you, shut up. I remember some years ago, someone came to my DM. He knows that I'm against materialistic gospel. So you know, he said, the other pastor, they just got jet for him. I said, I like jets too. He shook him. He knows that I like to go against anything money. If you are selling the gospel for money, I will talk against you. So he came to me, you want this partner. I said, me too, I like jets. Don't you like jets? He said, that was not what I was expecting him to say. What are you expecting me to say? That the man should not use jets. Someone has churches in over 170 countries in the world. Should he carry bike there? I don't understand. Someone has country in Scotland, has country in Wales, has a church. In Netherlands, as a church in China, as a church in India, your problem is that his own people, his own members, got him something to go about. And you're angry. So I asked him, I said, how much did they ask from you? He said, what do you mean? I mean, for you to be complaining this bad, they must have collected 500 naira from you to buy the jet. He said, no, he didn't ask you anything. I said, then keep quiet. He's their pastor. Go and meet your pastor. Hallelujah. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:13, you see that? Esteem them very highly. Say, I esteem very highly. Those who God has sent to me. Yeah. Look at verse 14. And now we exhort you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. All men are the weak. the feeble-minded, and the unruly. Be patient towards them, but warn them. Alright? So that's the way the Bible teaches us to deal with our relationship with our pastors. Say we should esteem very highly. In fact, I know some churches where any pastor is highly esteemed pastor. Some of you know the church I'm talking about. It's good. It's a good thing. Highly esteemed pastor. I didn't understand the first time I heard it. Highly esteemed man. But that's what the Bible says. It says cringe. It's weird. If you come here, yes, there's a way I'll look at you, but it's weird, it's awkward. Yeah, yes, pastors. God, how good pastors, that? I said, you like, yes, too. No, but it just shows the honor and the premium they place on the word. See, I honor God's word. Those are people, he's already paying them the way you are saying that pastor should be honored. It's the devil, that's the devil at work. That cannot be the spirit of God. Anything against pastor. Some people have already carried their 2 gig that they bought. Or 1 gig. 1 gig, 2 days. Putting type. The devil is using you. He's using your data. Stop it. Amen. You know why I'm saying this? Because I know there are a lot of people that will listen to this teaching. Funny things that we Christians say. Hebrews 13. Learn something. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you. He's not talking about politicians. He explains those who he's talking about. He says, those who have spoken unto you the word of God, follow their faith, considering the end of their lifestyle. That word conversation there is their lifestyle. Be looking at their lifestyle. Follow their faith. He says, remember those who have the rule over you, who are speaking the word of God to you. Then look at verse 17. He gives you further instructions. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They will give account for it, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So the Bible already gives us perspective to how to handle pastor-congregation relationship. Look at 1 Timothy 5. Are you learning something? 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. Can we read that one together? Want to go? Verse 17 and 18. Want to go? Okay. If you are not there, say, oh me. If you are not there, say, oh me. Why is that slow? 1 Timothy 5. Oh you. Are you there now? Verse 17 and 18. Want to go? Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For as the scripture has said, you will not muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. Look at that. So he's talking about pastors. He said, let the elders, Presbyterians, let them that rule well, let them be worthy, counted worthy of double honor. So how does the Bible tell you to treat pastors? Double honor. He said, especially those who labor in what? In word and doctrine. He said, let them be counted worthy of double honor. As the scripture has commanded, you will not muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. The ox is threshing the corn. Don't stop it from feeding. So it shows you that whatever he's talking about that is the reward is material. So the ox is stretching the corn with his feet. Are you getting what I'm saying? The ox is stretching the corn with the feet. He says, don't stop it from eating. Don't muzzle it. Don't muzzle the ox. That's Moses. That's Moses that said that. So don't muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. The laborer is worthy of his wages. So the Bible teaches that you give to those who teach you the word. Now, there's still further insights to all of this, but I'm going to get them. Don't muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. Look at Galatians 6. I'm just giving you enough evidence in the word to not join the social media bandwagons. Someone said, hey, there's this generation. This generation is Gen Z. That they would drag you. There's no generation that has never dragged. They not drag Jesus. They not drag Paul. You keep teaching. And you must teach your people not to follow trends. Galatians 6. Are you there? Verse 6. Can we have 6 and 7 together? Everybody want to go? Let him that is taught in the word, let him share unto him that teaches in all, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. He says, let him that is taught, let him share with the one who is teaching every good thing that he has. So the scripture teaches that you share out of your material things
with those who teach. The scripture actually teaches that you give to your pastor. Not just your pastor. Even if someone that that comes to your house for house fellowship, takes house fellowship in your house, or teaches you God's word, or just comes for follow up. You know, when I was younger, what I used to do is, there was a brother that used to come like that. And I got him, there's this peanuts that I used to take then. I didn't have money, so that was all I could have. I got him peanuts, I brought Gary, I brought sugar, floating berries, Leah sweetness, and what do they call it? Groceries. Is it groceries now? Groceries, floating berries, sweetness, you know, and a bit of dairy. So I brought everything together. I said, he was looking at me. Oh, Mushasha. He was a student. He was a student in high station. You know, he used to come and teach us. I was just taught this. So I gave him. Now that doesn't mean that when you go to your disciples, I'm like, what he communicates. What he communicates is not good things yet. Communicate now. You know, but it just shows you how the word of God asks us to treat those who teach. Is that clear? You treat with honor. Now, of course, there are pastors who will not take advantage of that. For example, yeah, normally the pastor should be on salary, but I'm not. I don't plan to be. I don't want to be. But someone came to me and said, that pastor's on salary. I said, so what's the real issue that you want to say? He said, pastor, you don't talk. He's actually on salary. Okay. He should be. Amen. So there's somebody who can say, I'll be getting me. Let's start. Start now. Ensure you are preaching the word of God, though. He never used to do bad meeting. You know, there are some that are not called. They call themselves. God is asking, when did I call you? See, you called us because this one, I don't call you. I didn't call you. You called yourself, you flashed yourself, you called yourself. You were suddenly. You are suddenly called. Amen. There's a movie like that. Quite interesting. You are called. Or you call yourself. Bible teaches us to address them properly. To esteem them very highly. To also share. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 9. See how I bring in evidence. Oh? Eh? So this one is not nobody's even asking to bamboo. Nobody's bamboozling you to give anything. Don't say because of giving. That's what I'm teaching. Don't do it alone. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 11. If we have sown to you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap of your natural things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Can we verse 13 together? Don't you know that those who minister holy things or the things of the temple, and they await at the altar, are partakers with the altar? That is, if you see those who are ministering by the altar, they actually should eat from them. They are partakers of it. Of course, now, that doesn't mean that the pastor should not take advantage of this. Personally, my disposition is that the pastor should work. That's my own opinion. A pastor should be working. Of course, you get to some level and some level of responsibility where you cannot actually work in the natural anymore. I don't expect someone like Pastor Adeboye to still be going to 9-to-5 work or to still have a business self. I don't expect that to happen. Babakumi, I don't expect that to happen. The level of responsibility has so much increased that, you know, sometimes you look at that and it's not an envious position, really. I know what I face here, you know, and this is just glorious our church. I know we have a long way to go, and I know what I'm facing already. So I imagine what, you know, imagine a pastor who has a congregation of over 500,000 people, 1 million people. You respect them, you honor that. You know, he must not be. So where should he eat? He will not eat before he preach. Amen. So those who live by the altar, those who minister the things of the altar, they will partake of it though. Of course, like Paul said in Acts 20:34, he said, you know that these my hands have ministered my needs. I have not taken anything from you. I did not ask you anything. Of course, a pastor can choose that, which is my own disposition. If you're a young minister like me, or
probably a bit older than I am. And the rest, level of responsibility is not that high. You should go work. Make your money. You should be giving also to the work. Of course, that doesn't mean that the members, you know, say, a pastor is working too now, he has money, so, to give for. No, that's not it. You see, you are still meant to obey the word. The pastor is the one saying, Paul is the one saying, you know, these minds have ministered to my need. I'm not going to ask you for anything. Yet the church in Macedonia sent things to him. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Alright. What led us to this? Funny things Christians say, why did that pastor, why are they giving to that pastor? Okay. So they bought jet. They use your money to buy it. I was on his birthday. I saw someone say, the best pastor in the world. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does it not mean? So what should you call him? The worst pastor in the world. I just always go for the opposite now. If you say they should not call him best pastor in the world, so what should they call him? This is the worst pastor I've seen ever. But on your Valentine's Day, the person you have not even married though, you have not even know where everything will end. We can scatter everything now. Just kidding, no. Say, pastor, you scatter things. No. You already saying you are the best. Best what? I told you we don't call people best. On Mother's Day, you called your mother best. Father's Day, your father best. But the moment they call a pastor the best pastor, you get angry. Something is wrong with your character, with your heart. Everybody's father is the best father. Every mother is the best mother. Who are those, whose mother is working secretariat? You know, when I was in Lutz, my husband do clearance. There are some people there. And they would delay you 5 hours. One woman, I said, you have children, right? You have a son. I said, what are you talking to? My name is talking about delay. You have a son. And I told her, I said, and the son will call you the best mother in the world. Then she laughed. They bring your paper. Try to, if you work, and let me tear your paper. And then your son will call you best mother in the world, man. And he started laughing. Say, go to you, sir. Amen. So whose mother is working in those places? Okay, fine, we agree. Your mother is the best mother in the world. Why can the pastor not be accorded such honor? Amen. See, I honor what God honors. I don't see as common what God see as separated. I don't see as common what God has called sacred. That's the beginning of worldliness. When you start seeing what is sacred as common and what is common as sacred. That's the beginning of worldliness. You should never be part of that nonsense. So it's a funny thing to say. Funny things that we Christians say. Why are they giving to that pastor? That's the same way they told Jesus. Why is this woman wasting her alabaster oil? Nah. It's a stupid thing to say. Stupid thing to say rather. It goes in the same vein. In the same vein where people say, there are too many churches. Have you heard that before? There's a church here or something. Ah, churches everywhere. Ah, I don't even know what's happening now. Everybody just starting church. Church is everywhere. We don't even know who is serving God. Shh. Calm. Now, I know there's a downside to that. But I would rather have more churches everywhere than shrines everywhere. Amen? I'd rather have more churches everywhere than mosques everywhere. I'd rather have more churches everywhere than clubs everywhere. It happens that we are in a part of the world where there's no persecution to your faith. So people have churches everywhere. Fine. Of course, there's some people that don't just wake up one morning. Go to Shemo. Okay. Let me start church. I can pray. Like those who do TikTok. If you have anybody that you know that prays on TikTok to collect money, tap. Olubeja. Tap. That's not a ministry. You know, you are not called to ministry yet. You are called to begging. You are begging money. You are hawking the gospel. Tap. Rose. It's better you go and do AI. That AI thing. Than you are praying on TikTok to go to AI. First Corinthians. Go and do AI. Are you listening to me? Second Timothy. Moses. Action. Than you are praying to collect money. That was one ministry. Now you see someone like that can decide one day to just open what's the app again? TikTok. They can just open TikTok and say, open my bowl from prayer. And if you see them sweating, if you want to really sweat and pray, go offline and go and pray. Amen. That same person can wake up one day and go and be looking for venue. I say, God,
God asked me to start something. No, God don't ask you to start something. Hunger asked you to start something. Fine, you have started. And because of that, a lot of people see that and they say, no, there are churches everywhere. Now, put that aside. Your own role ought to be to go and preach. If you preach so well, you are going to hinder first preachers. If you teach the gospel well, you are going to raise disciples. There will be nobody to go to those false centers. So, false teachers are a dent to our work. It shows that we are not working. We have not gotten to the goal. I don't get what I just said now. Eh? For the presence of falsehood. The fact that there are people still peddling the gospel for money, where they are still teaching others, say, if you give 5,000, God will give you 15,000 back. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, press tap, 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 tap. And people are still doing it. It shows that we are not working yet. It shows that the gospel has not covered the earth yet. When we see that, our role is not to be saying there are churches everywhere. No. Our role is to be saying we need to preach more. So you get off that social media. Get off that social media and go and preach. That should be your response. Stupid things as they say. Why are we building more churches? Why are we building more churches? All these churches we should use to build factories. Have you heard that nonsense before? If you build factories, people will be employed. Really? Go and build now. You build one. Let's follow the example. Factory over there. He said, if you build factories, instead of all the churches that we have in Nigeria, we turn them to factories. They will turn your church to factories. The gate of hell will not prevail in Jesus' name. If you turn into a factory, there will be more employment. People will have more jobs. The issue is not the church. The church is not your problem. The person that is talking has never helped a single poor person in his life. What he does is scam. Reverse cyber security. If you don't understand, don't worry. He's a working boy. Reverse cyber security. That's what he does. And you are talking against pastor. You. Then we create factories. We create all this prayer. We use the work. Nigeria is not the most religious country in the world. Saudi Arabia is more religious. Qatar is more religious. And their GDP. Hey, the name of Jesus. The day we reach their GDP, we will not work again. For 1 year. Stop playing, my fans. Stop playing. You know what they generate in those countries? And they are way more religious. So religion is not your problem. Go and talk with your politicians. Stop, leave the church alone. You that you collected money during election to steal ballots. One of sorrow. I know they are not here. Amen. I know. Say, pastor, don't say. I know they are not here. Amen. I'm going to say amen. No. I know they are not here. Amen.
Amen.
That stole ballot boxes. Aha. So how can someone have that kind of attitude? And then the next thing you pick on is church. That's a funny thing to say. I'm a Christian, but I agree. I wrote to another one. I said, you are a stupid Christian. Say it well. Wanted to come for me. I block him. It's easy thing. Blocking is the fruit of the spirit. Very easy thing in life. You just block. He will not see you again. Wow. Use it often. Amen. Yeah, you are a stupid Christian. I'm a Christian, but I actually agree. Sometimes people think they have sense. Your God. I'm a Christian, but I cannot continue with. Sometimes I think about it. A God that forgives those who kill, but cannot forgive someone that eats apple. Really? Apple? Balumon. You say nonsense. You don't know, and you don't know that you don't know. You will know in Jesus' name. Learn something? So if you so much think that factories can help the country, build one. In Lai's voice, build one, damn it. Build one. Build one. When you build your own, we'll follow. Go and build. Those who have factories are not talking. So, we rather have more churches. Say we are having more churches in the name of Jesus. We started our own. You are saying there are too many churches. They play. Stay there. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 16:15. In Matthew 28:19, he said, teach all nations. Teach all nations. Matthew 28:19. Baptize them in the name of the Father. All nations. You know what all nations mean? In Acts 1:8, he said, you are going to be my witnesses. So you receive a power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. Everywhere oxygen reaches. Everywhere the sun shines. Everywhere the day breaks. the glory of God must reach there. Amen. Everywhere, as the waters cover the sea, so shall the glory of the Lord cover the earth. The glory of the Lord is in this church. Amen. And so we're going to have churches in every place. The funny thing to say, there are too many churches. What do you want to have? Too many clubs? Eh? Too many hotels? Or motel? What do you want to have? I'd rather have more churches. And we believe God for more churches. Ah, I didn't hear you. So there are funny things, Christians. You see a lot I have, give us never lack. They play. God is teaching giving. You think? I didn't say give us we lack. I did not say that one. I think the statement really should be lackers never give. Because they don't have to give. They don't have anything they want to give. That one is factual. Those who lack cannot give. But to say those who give cannot lack. Lack comes. Sometimes. Amen. You cannot even tell me that one because I give a lot and I've lacked sometimes. Amen. The Paul who taught giving. When you look at 1 Timothy, that was Paul. When you look at Thessalonians, that's Paul. That was Paul. Galatians, that was Paul. 1 Corinthians 9 that we looked at, that was Paul. So every place we are looking at giving, that was Paul. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Sometimes I have plenty, sometimes I don't have anything. I go to Philippians 4. Some people think I can do all things means that you can become the president of Nigeria tomorrow. Oh yeah, let's take a bet. Say that pastor used to take bets. Yes, thank you. I don't bet though, Miko. And if you bet, please stop. Try. Don't waste your money. Let me say it again. Look up. Don't pretend like you're writing. Try. It's a waste of money. Use the money for something better. Hey, pastor can caution you, right? What I'm doing. Say, pastor, this last one. Go. Liverpool City. Pastor, I must score. Salah must score. Pastor, there's a spirit behind it. I know they've told you before. You said, you know, that's old school. Except you can't as old school too, which is okay. Don't bet. Don't take bets. I understand that women are now into it too. And ladies. Don't bet. I rebuke the spirit of gambling. It is greed. It's fueled by greed. You might think it's fueled by lack. No. You observe that even when there's plenty, they still go for it. And all of them, you don't use the money for anything good. Just squander it. Don't bet. Don't take bets. Is that okay? Is that okay? If you don't bet, don't bother saying yes, sir. Or I can say yes, sir. Just say it in your heart. Is that okay? All right. So they say, give us never lack. So again, Paul, look at Philippians 4. Are you learning something? So we are really looking at funny things Christians say. Again, we're just clearing. I think we're going to look at the issue of alcohol. We're going to look at smoking. We're going to look at Christian body. That's where I wrote it in my notes. Amen. What do I call it? You know, in a generation, very weird generation. What I call it, Christian? If you have told me 15 years ago, Christian body, I don't understand what it means. And some brothers in Christ, that's their spec. So I want a Christian. But a Christian body. What does Christian body mean? If God really gives you a body, things will turn bad. Is that the truth? You will not marry a Christian body in Jesus' name. Yeah. I told the pastor, pastor, that prayer is against my purpose in life. Come. You will not marry a Christian body in Jesus' name. Yeah. Sisters, you will not be a Christian body in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You are a virtuous woman. Virtuous man is not giving. Jacob give, Joe. Jacob give. Look at all of that one. I've not gotten there. I'm still in giving pastor. Alright, so Philippians 4, is there now? I'll start closing soon. This is Paul talking to the church in Philippi. Now the background is that the church in Philippi were going through a lot of like war, literally, persecution. Then Paul comes and says in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of lack, for I have learnt that in whatsoever state I am in, that I should be content. For I know how to abase. The word abase there means I know how to live in lack when there is nothing. I know how to live in nothing. And I know how to abound. Abound means I also know how to live in plenty. Meaning that when I have plenty, it's all okay. You will see me shining. When I also don't have anything, you will still see me shining. I know how to be content. Don't forget, that's the key word in verse 11.
everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Are you seeing that? That's what he's talking about. Both to abound and to suffering. So suffering will be to abase. To be hungry will be to abase, right? Come on, right? So abound, abase, full, hungry, abound, suffering. Can we verse 13 together? I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens. Is it making sense? So again, this is the same person that thought giving us is, sometimes I am hungry. Sometimes I am full. Sometimes it's raining. Sometimes it's sunny. But we must be content everywhere and in all things. So, the idea that those who give don't lack is not in the scriptures at all. In fact, when Paul talked about the church in Macedonia, in 2 Corinthians 8, what did he say about the church in Macedonia? He said, out of their deep poverty. Eh? Well, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 8. Are you learning something? Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to know that the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded the riches of their giving. How about that? If Paul tells you that something is deep poverty, okay? Someone that says, I know how to abase. He did not say, I abase deeply. He said, I just know how to abase. To be hungry. And he says that some people are in deep poverty. He said, even their deep poverty, you see their giving. It shows you that, oh, that givers never lack. It's not true. Listen, look up. This is the reason why a lot of people lose faith in Christ. When you tell them things like this, so they start feeling, if you say givers never lack, I gave last week, Pastor, what happened? Why is there no money again in my account? The truth is, giving to God does not multiply the money in your account. Could he multiply the grace of God upon you? Yes. Could he increase the supply of the Spirit towards you? Yes. But does he give material wealth? No. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? We don't give to prosper. We give because we have prospered. Is that clear? There's nowhere in the Bible where it teaches people to multiply. God multiplies money. I said, what about pressed down, shaking together, running over? That was not talking about money. We're going to look at that much more next week. Play for my close. That does not talk about money at all. Glorious house church, tell me, what does it talk about? Giving, about judgment, mercy, forgiveness, Abi? Say, so whatever you give to men, that's what they will give to you. If you forgive people, they will forgive you. Say, so give and shall be given. He wasn't talking about money at all. There was no money at all. Go and read this very well. He was talking about mercy. He was talking about judgment. He was talking about the way kindness, the way you treat people. He says, what you give is all given to you. In fact, in good measure, press down, shake it again, run it over. And that's what men give unto your bosom. Don't say, name is a God. So if you're thinking money, then I give. God will not give to my bosom. No, he said, men. Talk about mercy and judgment. I think we have a teaching on that. Do we? Yeah, we do. Definitely. Anyone? No. Stop me. I'm not talking this time around. That's what I'm saying. Studying the Bible for all its worth. Not sure about that, but check it out. Alright, so again, we have learned from God's word. Learn from God's word that there are things we should not say. We must not join the bandwagon of those who dishonor the church of God. There are people who are quick. They are quick to judge pastors, to judge the church. The large church, that is what they are doing. Are you going there? If you're not going there, then face where you're going. You can't look up and look down at the same time. Ake wa roja. Eni abawa no loja la. You hear me? You don't look at the market. You look at the person you are buying from. If you are looking at everybody in the market, you're not going to get anything done. Is that clear? You look at the person you are transacting with. Forget the churches that are paying because of money. Forget the pastors that you baptize someone with Fanta. Forget that there are plenty of churches that they are baptizing with water.
get that money. Is that your church?
No.
It is your business. Mind your business. I've told you that your default response ought to be to preach. To teach more. With so much conviction that the false teacher will not have a single disciple. That is the goal. That is the goal. You know, when the false guy does not have a single disciple again, he will turn to the Lord. Huh? You saw it. In Acts 9, Acts 8, when Philip went to Damascus to preach. And Bible says the entire city was filled with joy. So much that someone was a sorcerer and disciples. He knew that business was over. That's when you choose falsehood. You close their business. Not with violence, by the influence of God's word. By the influence of God's word. So Simon had to say, give me this power, send it to me. So when I lay my hands on people, so they can be healed, or they can speak in tongues. Peter says, your money perishes. That is our approach. Is that clear? Is that clear?